I don't know exactly what else to do except start in a verse of scripture that I think I shared it with you last time I was here, but if I did, I did, and if I didn't, I didn't, and it's still in the Bible. It's been there for quite a few thousand years now. So if it's been there for a long time, it must be God wants it to be there, or he'd take it out, wouldn't he? And even though it's been there for a while, it doesn't mean that we should overlook it. And if we've seen it before, why, how many times have we sung Amazing Grace? And I've never heard anybody say, "We sing that song all the time. Can't we do something else?"
Right.
Well, you know, pardon me, but if you've heard a little bit of some of this, then get what you didn't get out of it. I've learned I don't get it all. I've been reading the Bible now. Well, I started reading it quite a bit before I got saved, and because I knew I should read it. But since I've been saved, I've done my best to read it through at least once every year. And sometimes I've read it through way more than that. Sometimes I've read the New Testament through. I read the book of Revelation on a Wednesday. I read it through six times trying to figure out what it was about, because I was going to have to preach something on that night that was going to blow away everything that I'd ever been taught. And so I wanted to make sure I was right. So I read it through six times and found out I was right. About the sixth time through it, everything started clearing out. And so I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. I ain't kept track. I ain't calculated. But I know I've read it through and through and through and through and through, and the more I read it, the more I see how much I've missed. It's a book like no other book in the world.
Yeah.
And about time you think, well, I've got that message and I wrote it down and I got this and that out of it, you go back and look at it, so how come I didn't get that out of it the first time? So where I'm at right now is on a truth that I shared it and preached it here. I almost veer away from the word shared because I hear, when I was a boy, I heard somebody say that's what liberals do. They share and God's men preach. But I'll preach what I'll share and I'll share what I'll preach. So that way I have preaching in my sharing. And I'm going to share it with you tonight through preaching. And I want you to consider a thought that I brought up, I think the last night I preached here. This is April. I was here February, right? I didn't make it February. It was in December. Because Brother Al was sitting on the front row and he said, "Are you sure you're supposed to go home tonight, Brother Rutherford?" He said, "I think maybe you need to stay and preach another message tomorrow night. I don't know what to do now that you've done that." And I preached on the few in Sardis that had not spotted their garments. And I've been studying this word few for some time now. And Lord, are there few that be saved is how I came across that word few when it began to stand out in many, many other places in the Bible. And the word few is not used here, but the truth of a few is used here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of truths in the Bible that the word itself is not used in the verse of a certain truth, but the truth is there. And in this verse, in this special verse in Isaiah 51, in verse number 2 is where I'll show it to you at, but I want you to start with me, if you would, in verse 1. Stand with me while I read my text. Now, I didn't mean to take too much time, but I'm not as tired as I normally am when I have to drive 14 hours.
I understand.
And when you get older, you slow down anyways. Like the preacher said tonight, I'm not near as right now. But in me I am.
Yeah.
And with the thought that I have, I am. And I may take off a little slower than I used to. But once I get in overdrive, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And so if God wants me to get in overdrive, I'll be there. If he wants me to stay in granny gear, I'll climb something steep. Or go through something that I couldn't go through in overdrive. And so what I want you to consider is this few business, this few that are saved. Only a few are saved. And it's not just the truth that was taught in the book of Luke, and it's only basically a New Testament truth. If you study the Bible, you'll find out how few there have always been that have been saved.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean when we say a few saved, well, then that means people just can't get saved. I didn't say that. But if you get saved, you better really get saved. And if you're one of the few and you don't understand maybe that doctrine right now and it kind of is negative to you, just look around and see how many really know the gospel.
That's right. Boy,
look around. Just look around.
Yes, sir.
Go to the store and try to figure out who's saved and who's lost.
Yeah.
It don't take long to find out that them floozies with nothing on at Walmart ain't saved.
That's right. You're right, preacher.
It don't take you long when you go to Baptist churches and hear what some people say about things. That there ain't very many that understand.
Right.
And there ain't very many that seek after God.
Right.
And even in our Baptist churches, there ain't very many people seeking God.
No way. You're right, preacher. Amen.
I like to have a good time. When it comes time to get serious about this stuff,
yeah.
I want to be serious right now. And I may have a good time with something later, and I might talk and laugh with you a little bit. But then again, God might just fall on us in such a way that we don't have much laughter tonight.
I'd be good.
Just a serious, serious spirit. I want to be serious right now.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to think about the fact that if God saves you, he's going to call you out. And you ain't going to be thinking about what he's doing with anybody else.
That's right.
Or what anybody else thinks, but what he's talking to you about.
That's right.
You start thinking about what he's talking to you about. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing.
That's right.
If you ain't right, quit worrying about other people you think ain't right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to stand before the same God for not being right as they're going to stand before for not being right.
Right.
So why don't you just get right?
Yeah.
And then you can help me when I'm wrong. You can help me when you finally get it all figured out. Because I'm learning things that I ain't never learned. And I'm thinking about things I ain't never thought about. And I'm seeing things I ain't never seen before. And I'm hearing things I ain't never heard before. And we ain't never lived to this time before. This is the latest it's ever been. So Isaiah 51, that's just my little introduction to you. Here's a good thing to do. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look under the rock whence ye are hewn, into the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Notice this phrase, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him.
Yeah.
I called him alone.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I've been in services where I was the only one that was there. Even though there was 200, 300, 150, 25, 60 people. I was the only one there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
God called me alone. Nobody else heard anything but I did.
Yeah. Good.
And if God saves you or talks to you or helps you, it ain't going to be about what anybody else hears or anybody else gets involved in. It's going to be what God pulls out in you and pulls you out of.
Amen.
And he called him alone.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody else got saved between 4 and 4:15 in the morning on April 29th, 1979. I don't know. I never heard anybody else say they got saved on that date, that time of the day. I never heard anybody else say it. But he called me alone. I don't know if anybody else heard him at that time. I don't know April 29th in anybody else's life. But I know it in mine. And the day that God called Abraham out of the Chaldees, it doesn't say he called anybody else at that time or that place or that particular way on that day ever. But he called Abraham out that day. And if he saved you, he did the same thing for you. He's no respect of persons. And I don't believe he saves one different than he does another. Circumstances are different. Yeah. The place where you're at is different.
Right.
But the way God deals with the sinner and what he does and how he pulls them away, that's all the same. That's all the same.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help me tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help God this truth to God. Would you allow tonight me to preach this truth in a way that would help somebody see that, God, you're calling them where they are. And you're speaking to them, and they ain't got to be worrying about what anybody else is saying, thinking, or doing. And Lord, God, and I'm going to ask you to help this situation. And that is, your word is right whether I am or not.
That's right.
But I believe I am right. But God, your word's right whether I am or not. And Lord, but I do believe I am right. And God, your word is right, Lord. Whether I'm right or not right, your word is right. But I believe I'm right.
Yes.
And Lord, I believe I'm supposed to say it that way too right now. I'm supposed to emphasize that.
Sure.
I believe, God, that I've been trying to follow you. And I, Lord, I know that, God, I have to keep close tabs all the time about my own soul, my own life. As a child of God. But Lord, I believe, God, that you've put me where I'm at. I believe you've given me the liberty to be here tonight.
Yeah.
God, you give me the strength to drive here, and you give me the eyes to see the text with and the mind to consider it. And Lord, I believe that you're speaking tonight to tell somebody your truth.
Right.
Your truth.
Yes.
So I pray you'd help them to hear it. Lord, if they just hear me, I know they ain't going to hear truth. But God, if they'll hear what you got to say.
Yeah.
So I pray, Lord, you'd do the same thing for them that you did for me and that you did for Abraham. That, God, you would lift your word out of the page and put it on the soul.
Yeah.
And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, as I began to consider this verse, and I began to cut it apart a little bit, I want you to know that God is saying something to the whole nation of Israel about how they got into the blessings of God. Now, church, I want you to know something. You didn't get in the blessings of God because of any other reason except God blessed somebody with his truth.
Right.
He blessed somebody else. You believe on God because somebody else believed on God.
Right.
And that person believed on God because somebody else believed on God. And according to John 17:20, everybody that believes through the witness of another that has believed, and it's been passed down from the one that has believed. And we know Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
And it was counted to him for righteousness. We know that Abraham was called.
Right.
We know he was called.
Right.
Everybody that's saved has been called. That's not a hard word to understand. It means somebody has talked to you. I don't know why in the world would that be a hard thing to understand? Somebody said to me one time, some of these preachers talk like God talked directly to them. Oh, really? It was as though God talked directly to them and told them something? Oh, really? Yeah, have you ever heard such a thing? Yep, I have. The night I got saved, God talked to me. He used His Word. He used His Spirit. You ain't ever going to be saved apart from the work of the Holy Ghost. You can be intellectually enthused and intellectually brought to some truth, but when the Holy Ghost says, "Did you hear that?" Yes, sir. It's different than what's been on the page. It's real.
Amen.
Right. And it's really real.
Right.
Amen. I could quote some scripture about that. And I can take you to some scriptures that Paul wrote to local churches and Peter wrote, that without God's Spirit, men that were moved of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that very same word that they spake from the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Ghost to man, the Holy Ghost made real to those that heard it. Or they just went on in their life and their life has never changed. I can't help it that some folk have been intellectually messed up. It's not my place to say this one's got the intellect of it and that's all he's got, and this one has the Holy Ghost, but he doesn't even understand this. All I know is what happened to me right now. I can tell you this. It wasn't just word only, but there was power in it. And God demonstrated His truth to my soul. God called me out of my Baptist religion. Just like God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And so when I get in meetings, just because I go to certain places, I've been accused because I go to certain places that I'm changing my doctrine. I ain't changed my doctrine one iota.
Right.
And I also know some other things. I know that if I stay in my little corner all my life, I ain't going to help somebody in their corner.
Right.
And God sent Paul to talk to Jews that went to synagogues, that denied Christ was the Messiah. Did he go there and compromise with them?
No.
I got myself in trouble last week. Believe it or not. Some preachers was a-talking. They was talking about, this one's camp meeting. He only has about 300 going to it now. It used to be 3,000 going to it. And I said, if he'd quit having Tony Hudson and Joe Arthur and some of them other easy believers and fellas, I might go back to this camp meeting. But he's hobnobbing with a crowd I don't agree with. Well, I was the black ball then. And all I said was what was on my heart. They were saying what was on theirs. I said the reason that thing's falling apart and dwindling down to nothing is because you can't apostatize from the truth, and God bless it. Another preacher friend of mine standing there, he's standing behind a pillar looking at me. I seen him. He's going. Then he hides behind the pillar and he goes. I thought, oh no, man. They started dwindling. One stood up. I said, "You got to go lay down for a minute, brother." "Yeah, I need a nap." It wasn't long. I thought, "Well, let's stand here." I told my friend, I said, "Did I say something wrong?" He said, "No, I thought it was great." He said, "It sure tickled me." I said, "Well, I wasn't trying to be his roommate." He said, "They're the ones that said it, not you. You just told them what you thought about it. You want to know why his camp meeting's all messed up like it is now? Who he's hobnobbing with. Used to preach lordship. Used to preach repentance. Used to preach Holy Ghost conviction. I guess apparently he believed it but didn't practice it all his life. I don't know." I walked up to the man that I walked up to him one day and said, I thought I was about the only one that believed that in these parts. When I pastored in northern Alabama, when I heard him preach at another church, Anchor Baptist Church. Went every night because of what I heard him preach the first night. My wife got saved at his camp meeting while a man was up preaching on repentance and lordship. She knew she'd never submitted to God, never trusted him. I'm not opposed to the man. But you cannot expect God to keep his blessings on something that goes into a rank apostasy. And the man that was moderating the meeting the first day I was there blasted it right from the pulpit, and I amened him. And he didn't back up. And at the end of the meeting, he did still believe this. He still believed it the same way. He didn't change. Just because some of the brethren had said some things, right. He got right up and said it. I'll amen that.
Right.
Amen. Don't get quiet on me. God called Abraham.
Right.
He called him. All right, I got news for you, friend. I got news for you. First off, I can't help somebody if I ain't there to help them. If God tells me to go somewhere, I'm going to tell you this. If God told me to go down to the Catholic Church, knock on the Catholic Church door, and tell that priest I'm supposed to preach there on Sunday morning, I'd do it. You're compromising with Catholics. No one preached to them.
Right.
Paul went to the synagogue. Will you please? You say you're defending yourself. Yep, I am, and I have every right to. You defend yourself for what you believe about what you believe. And you'd be all right to do it. Guess what? I'm a God-called man. I have every right. Paul defended himself almost on every corner in the book of Acts. I'm not afraid to say I'm right. I'm not afraid to say I still stand wherever I stood.
Right.
I ain't changed one iota about
right.
it. I still do believe that the Holy Ghost right. has to deal with a man's soul.
Yes,
I still believe that.
Amen.
My heart's fixed on that. Amen. I believe that repentance is repentance from all the wicked mess you are. All of it, everything.
Yes.
That you're sorry for what a sinner you are. It's not necessarily the sins, but it's you're a sinner, and that's why you do what you stinking do.
Right.
You're a disobedient,
yeah.
stubborn, rebellious unbeliever.
Right.
And you need to repent
that's
of
right.
being self-centered and
yeah.
self-righteous and
right. Right.
a low-down hypocrite and a Pharisee that knows everybody else's need and you but your own.
That's right.
The night I got saved, God had me repent of my being a Pharisee. I knew everybody else's faults. I didn't even know my own. I'd be mean to you.
No.
I'm telling you, some of you ain't going to get saved because you're too good to get saved.
That's right. Oh my.
What do you get saved from? You're so good, you know it all anyways. You know more about who's wrong than there's people that are wrong. You know they're wrong, and they don't even know they're wrong, but you do. I love you. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he was none but a moon worshiper. A what? A moon worshiper. I don't know where I learned all this from, just studying it. Ur of the Chaldees, they worshiped constellations. They howled at the moon like a wolf, I guess. Bowery! I didn't move the moon, but they looked at it and they worshipped it. They were idolaters. When God called Abraham out of the Chaldees, he was highly religious, but he wasn't saved.
Right.
Hello. I don't know what kind of man Abraham was altogether. But I do know this, when he knew what God told him to do, he looked over at his wife Sarai and said, "Hey Sarai, we're leaving."
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd pronounce it. It's spelled Sarai. I guess just an old plow country boy would say Sarai. I ain't a Hebrew, so I don't know how they pronounce it. I know he was Abram before he became Abraham. And she became Sarah. And that's a whole lot easier to say. But nonetheless, they were the same person, except God changed them and made them the different person instead of the same one. But when they came out of Ur of the Chaldees, they wasn't nothing but a bunch of British boneheads. I tell you, that was not a redneck fiddle. That sounded like Scots music, Celtic. And you could marry a Japanese fella and you play Celtic music. Well, anyway, but you know what I'm saying? We all have a different background. It is not your background that makes you the person you are. It's the God that pulls you out of your background.
Right.
Don't matter you chawed to Becky and went in rebellion with your shorts on to the revival meeting.
Sure.
Yeah, wicked outfit you. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to spit. Every time I said something, he was going. You ain't got glasses, and I ain't got my handkerchief tonight either, so I can't help you. But you know what I'm saying? It ain't your background, honey. It's the God that got you out of your background. What background are you in? Let me ask you, is what you're in going to get you to heaven? Is what you're thinking going to save you? Is God gonna say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," to a lost man? Is God gonna say, "You're all right," when you ain't saved? Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. How many other people did God call out of the Ur of Chaldees when he called Abraham out? Now, I don't know, did I bring this truth out to you last time I preached here? I don't remember it, see. I think it's new to me right now that I brought it to you, I'm talking about. It's not new to me, I've been studying it. I've been looking this thing over. This thing's blessed my soul. You know what it does? It takes me back. Where God called me out of, I was nothing. Oh, you was a Baptist preacher's kid. I was nothing. Right. You was even a Baptist preacher. I was nothing. Right. You sang in the choir. No, I didn't. I led it. Sang with my brother and my daddy all over the country with him playing a flat top guitar. And I could sing the stars out of the sky. I was timid. I was an introvert. But you put me up there to sing, and I could beller the windows loose. And wasn't scared to. Knew I could hit my notes. And didn't do it with pride. Did it because I liked to. I just loved to sing as a boy.
Amen.
I was at home singing in any pulpit. I could have sung to thousands and it wouldn't have scared me. I come out of a background. But I'm going to tell you something. That wouldn't have saved me. Well, God, see, I got all this, and I've done all this, and I've done all this. Go back to Abraham. Who was Abraham before he left the Ur of the Chaldees? Who was he? He was Abram. What did he accomplish? He speaks of nothing. He says later to Israel, "Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite."
Right.
What in the world? An Amorite and a Hittite? I thought they was Jews. No, God called Abraham a Hebrew first.
Right.
And if God hadn't made him a Hebrew, he'd still be just Abram.
Right.
You know what God made you when he saved you? You ain't you no more. He called you out.
Right.
He called you out. Simple as that. Well, I'll ask you, how simple is it for you to leave everything and do what God says?
Yeah.
It must be pretty hard for some of you. You ain't saved yet.
Right.
Huh? And you ain't going to get saved until you leave everything.
Right. Right.
You're going to even have to leave behind everything you figured out. You're just going to have to be just exactly what you are right now, where God's got you, and that is, I'm going to ask you, what have you accomplished for God since last year? When you get to where you ain't nothing but an old valley that needs to be filled, and God's going to have to knock every mountain down. Because mountains speak of pride. That's why John the Baptist's message was parabolic. Every mountain shall be brought low, and every valley shall be filled, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth.
Right.
And who's going to do that? God! The Lord's on His way! He's going to fix up all the mess! That's in you. He didn't fix up all the mess that was in the world. He fixed up all the mess that the world had put in you. He didn't come to set up His kingdom earthly wise. He came to put His kingdom in your heart. Is His kingdom in your heart? Is the King of Kings living in your heart? Is the King of Kings sitting on the throne? Who's calling the shots in your life? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. By the time we think we're humble, that's when we write a book. Humility and how I attained it. You know, I mean, great day in the morning. God help us. Amen. Y'all with me? I don't know how this message is going to feel. I don't know what you're preaching. I ain't got a clue if you're preaching anything. I don't know. I'm here to preach. I don't know what God's got on your heart. You may be sitting there thinking, how am I going to fit this that I've been studying in with what Brother Robert's saying? I don't know if that's what you're thinking. I don't know what any of you are thinking right now. I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm where I'm supposed to be thinking. My job ain't to worry about what's coming next. My job is to fill in the blanks where God's put me right now.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. I got about 50 messages I brought with me. And it's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Pick a card, any card. It ain't that. But when God's been talking to you so much, you got page after page after page of God saying things to you, sometimes you wonder, where am I going to start with all this? And I can't have 50 different things on my mind, Lord. Now listen. I've had messages that were good messages, and I didn't know what one I was going to preach, and I had about five of them, and I tried to compile them. They don't work good. They just don't work good. So I said, Lord, would you just pick out one? Now, you can believe this or not. I believe God just pulled this one out in my heart and said, I want you to preach that. I want them to think about it. Now, I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me to Genesis 24. You thought Isaiah 51 was the text. Well, it is. But it also tells me how God called Abraham alone. Alone. And if you want to know, I come across this truth some time back that this is Abraham's personal testimony to his eldest servant, Eliezer. And you know that every man that's saved has a testimony? Hello?
Yeah.
Every man that's saved has a testimony. He can tell you something about what you ought to do, what God directed him to do, and what God's up to right now. Because of what God did for Abraham, Abraham had insight. Now, Genesis 24 is a familiar story of Abraham sending his eldest servant to get a bride. I'm not preaching on all that. Don't be afraid. I haven't got another 1 hour message in this chapter. I'm not going to go all the way through it and talk about it. No, I'm just going to give you his testimony to Eliezer. All right, Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in almost everything. In all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto the land, unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Well, he wants him to go get a wife there. Why wouldn't he want his son to go back? I don't have all the answers to that, but I know what he told his eldest servant.
Right.
No! That's what he told him.
Right.
Never take my son back to my old way of life.
Right.
To where I came from. Don't take my boy back to my homeland. It's not fit for him. But the same way for him is going to be for me.
Yep.
He's going to stay out of it, but he's going to get somebody else for himself that wants out of it. Can I explain to you, friend? That is the doctrine of a local New Testament body of believers. They want out of what they've been in.
Right.
So they come to get married. All right. Verse number 6. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now here's his testimony. I've never seen this until just recent days like this. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now the thing that I want to pull out here, God said he called Abraham alone in Isaiah 51:2. Call him alone. Here Abraham is testifying to his eldest servant what has been rehearsed in Isaiah 51 about Abraham in the prophet's life, Isaiah. Is it important that we understand that God knows how he got Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he shared it with Isaiah? And when he shared it with Isaiah, my mind went back to the day that Abraham got out of the Ur of the Chaldees. So I went all the way back to Genesis 12 and started looking at it. But then one day I was reading in Genesis 24 and I saw Abraham testify himself of getting out. And here's how he said it, and I'm going to try to close with this truth as well as start with it. He said, which took me from my father's house.
Right.
Took me.
Yes, sir.
He took me. You know, I was reading the other day. See if I can find it. Y'all just be patient with me for a minute. I'm an old man and I get things on my mind. And then I don't know if I'm supposed to try to find it because I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. And it talks about, let's see here. Where is it at that king? Well, there was a king that did something in the life of Abraham. Let's see, can I find it? Let's see. I was looking at you so dang. Just give me a second. Will you give me a second? I'm not trying to take your time, but I am trying to take your time so I can get this. Here it is. Lot messed up pretty bad. Real bad, matter of fact. And then Abraham ended up journeying after Lot was after Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Just listen to me about these verses. Abraham journeyed from thence towards south country. This is in Genesis 20, verse 1. And dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech took of Gerar, and the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, she is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me.
Right.
Now I'm gonna blow out a doctrine I've been hearing all my life. I've heard all my life. God don't make nobody do nothing. God said right here to this king, I withheld you from it.
That's right. Right. Right.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better be bigger and tougher than me if I'm going to hold you back. And I'm going to hold you back. You better be bigger and tougher than me if you think you're going to get through. And when God said, I withheld you, you think you're going to get through what God's stopping you from doing? Does that mean God made him not do it? There's some things, if God hadn't been in it, you'd have got into it, but God made it to where he stopped you.
Right.
They say, well, what's that got to do with God taking Abraham? Very same thing. Put your Bible down. Put your Bible down. I don't want to hurt your Bible in your hand. He said God took him. It's like this. I don't think it means that. Oh, come here. You can sit right back down there. What did he just do? He just got took. He just got took. Yeah, listen, if you study the word took, it means to be pulled toward, brought toward, brought into. It also means something else that blessed my heart. You know why I took him and did that with him? Because I wanted to.
Amen.
Now, he might not have wanted me to, but I wanted to. Let me ask you a question. What if God I'm telling you, you know what God did for me April 29th, 1979, 4 o'clock morning? He took me. You know why he took me? He wanted me. Do I understand that? Do I understand his desire being toward me? No, I don't understand it. But I believe it. Because I'm a believer. Took me. He bent me toward his way, moved me toward him, took to bring it, to bring it. He took. If I take this book, I take it.
Right.
You know what I can't make God do? I can't make him make you believe it. But I can tell you what God said. And I can tell you this is God's way. When he called those apostles, he literally took them. When he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Must bring. Now, I looked up that word bring, and it takes me to another word in my studies, it takes me to other words and breaks down into other words. And one of the words it broke down into in the Greek language, and I found it again the other day because a man told me I wasn't right, and I went back and studied it, and I found out I was right. But it was too late. He was already gone, so I couldn't prove it to him. But nonetheless, it was proven to me. The word bring means to be, you know, when a woman can't have a baby, they do something for her. Induce. The word bring means to induce to birth. When you could not have the birth, God put the intravenous work of the Holy Ghost in you and brought it to pass. He brought birth to you. There's many other verses I could take you to about God bringing. God bringing. And it all stems from this thing about how God called Abraham alone and he took him. And I'm sorry I ain't got a flowery 3-point outline with a poem. But I'm not here to give you a sermon. I'm here to give you a message. And the message is, God's in the business of getting who he wants.
Amen.
And working on whom he will. And it says, the Lord quickeneth whom he will.
Right.
I'm glad for the days he's come by in my life. He didn't just bring me to salvation. He's been bringing me along ever since.
Right.
You know what he said to Israel? I brought you out that I might bring you in. And I've been circling, I've been reading, I got another Bible, that's what I'm going to tell you. And every time I see the word brought in Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, every time I see the word brought, I've been circling it with a red pen. I'm shocked at all the times I've messed over and missed how many times God said, I brought you out with a strong hand. I brought you out. I brought you. You know, I'm going to close with this. If God don't bring you, you won't get brought.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. No man come to me except my Father who sent me, draw him.
Amen.
And that word draw means to be brought. I didn't say he forced you, but I don't mind if he does. Why would you be bothered if God would force you to do something that would be good for you? My daddy used to force me to do things. Oh, yeah. You know what's wrong with some folk? They think it'd be wrong for God to force somebody to. Why would it be wrong for God to force somebody to do something that was right? Can I ask you, why would it be wrong for God to do right, ever?
Amen.
Why would it be wrong for God to get a hold of you, pull you out from where you are, and pull you to himself for himself? God don't do that. What would be wrong with him? I don't understand this crowd that wants to fight about that.
Good.
Now, my job tonight, I feel like my job tonight was to bring this truth to you. And I believe God wants you to think about it, or he wouldn't put it on my mind.
Right.
And I don't know what I'm doing next now, but I know I've done what I'm supposed to do tonight. Lord, I pray you to help us. Thank you for the word of God you gave to me.